Westside Baptist Church in Noonan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
On the first, once like a bird in prison I dwell, no freedom from my sorrows I fell, but Jesus came and listened to me, and glory to God, he set me free, he set me free, yes, he set me free, and he broke the bond.
Salvation, and they all have to come by Calvary.
Me. And you know, a lot of times people stand up and they talk about how bad of a sinner they were. Well, I was a kid and I got saved at a camp, a summer camp for children. And I just praise the Lord that I didn't have to go through all that. But the song says, was I so bad? I was a kid, but it didn't matter because God needed to save me. And Brother Joe this morning was talking about all the people that are out there in the world that we come in contact with, and it doesn't matter the color of their skin or how old they are or any of that. We need to be Christians in the world. We need to live because people are going to die and they're going to go to hell. And some of that's my family. And I want y'all to pray for my family.
Was I so bad? I needed forgiveness. Was I so wrong? I had to be redeemed. Well, I wasn't a thief, yet I lived in sin prison. So I was as wrong as a sinner could be.
Redeeming all.
even at 52 years
old.
God save this old sinner. Thought I was saved, but I was not. Doing good, being in church, being in choir, teaching Sunday school, don't get you saved.
That's right.
You'll know when God comes knocking. Thank you, Lord.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Good to be at Westside this morning.
Amen.
Boy, y'all should have been here with us last Sunday morning and Sunday night in the prayer meeting we had. I mean, it was a blessing. But it's so good to be here today and sing these songs about the Lord saving our soul. So thankful for that. We've got a lot of folks out today sick. Some stayed home because the roads were so icy. Well, that's what they're claiming. Brother Joe.
Amen.
I thought you just praising me, Jay. You tell it. He's got his cool on this morning. I hope the rest of us have got ours on. So good to have visitors in the service with us today. I hope we don't scare you too bad. We're borderline Baptist around here. But the Lord's been good to us, and we don't mind saying so. And I know she's here for treatment, and we'll all join together and pray for her healing. Wouldn't it be something if we were able to pray and Lord heal her of that situation? She can remember a little church down here on Smoky Road that prayed for her. Wouldn't that be good?
Amen.
Choir sing There's a Fountain, if you will.
You have
Praise the Lord. I think the Lord showed up. I'm glad you showed up as well. And I appreciate our friends from Cummings, Georgia, coming down. I forgot to mention them earlier. Appreciate everyone being here this morning. If you have your Bibles, and while you're turning to Psalm chapter 23, over the Christmas season, I think it was the night of our candlelight service, we found a set of keys, three little keys, like might go to like a master lock or something, then a regular key that looks more like a house key, and it has the Georgia insignia on it. Huh? It's Williams? Oh, no, it's not Williams. He's an Auburn person, so we know it's not his. But I just want, we've checked with all the Georgia fans that we know about, and can't find a home for these things. So I just want to give it one last try before we throw them in a drawer somewhere and forget about them. But if you have your Bibles, as I'd asked before, mentioned, Psalm chapter 23. Psalm chapter 23. Whenever the service shifts like it did this morning, you do question, say, Lord, is this the message, or would you have me turn to another book, another chapter, and preach something else? But I think this is what the Lord wants for us. And I'm going to read one verse. It will be my text, and then I'm going to get away from the text for a little while. Then, excuse me, toward the end of the message, we'll go back to the text just for a moment. But the Bible says in Psalm chapter 23 and in verse 5, now, Miss Pina, I've given my text three or four times. Am I okay now? All right. Miss Pina's quick to let me know when I forget to give my text, and I appreciate that because it is a bad habit of mine. But the Bible says, Thou, the Lord, preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Then he says, the psalmist says, Thou anointest, the Lord, Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. It's a blessing within itself, just to read it as it is. But I'd like to shift for a moment, and then we'll come back to the text. I want to talk to you for a few moments, knowing that this is the beginning of a new year, 2017. I'll be honest with you, I believe that 2016 went by more quickly than any year that I can recall. And we blinked twice and it was over with. I don't know if watching the election and all that made things speed up, but no matter who you voted for, you got to admit that election thing was pretty entertaining. And I laughed and got sick at the same time, many times, watching it unfold. But nevertheless, it was a quick year. It just flew by. And I realized that here we are, 2017. And what do they call those things? The New Year's resolution. You know, anybody make the New Year's resolution? Determined to do this or that, something that you wish you'd done that you didn't do. And of course, the truth is, and we know this to be, if you think about it, that usually our weight is in there somewhere. Usually we predetermine, well, this year, I'm going to lose 5 pounds or 10 pounds or whatever we think we need to lose, because the longer we look in the mirror, it seems like the more chins we get, and we're wanting to lose one or two of them anyway. And so that's a big to-do at the first of the year. So many people. By the way, ladies, I want you to know, I've got some good news for you. This is kind of off, but it's the truth. The other day, I went to the grocery store and I bought some aftershave. Now, let me tell you why I'm mentioning this to you. I use the aftershave And then I noticed on the bottom of the aftershave bottle, it said two things. It said, firms and tones. I've been taking a bath in aftershave for the last month and a half. It's not working too well. It's not firming or toning anything. But I thought that was kind of funny that they said it firms and tones. And I, oh, my goodness gracious alive. But that's what we want to see so many times in the new year. We go on a diet. We go to the gym. And, of course, that lasts a few weeks. And then you kind of stop paying your gym payment and go back to eating bonbons and whole milk. Amen. But nevertheless, I want to say this. You should be glad. You should be glad because what I have found through reading God's Word, and I'm not trying to be funny, but it's the truth. By reading God's Word, I found out that Jesus loves fat Christians. Amen. We're all fighting it. It's all coming unfolded. I mean, you know, we hit toward 40 and then, you know, it starts drooping. And when you get over 50, it starts sagging. And I mean, to tell you, it just isn't what it used to be. But the good news is that Jesus loves fat Christians. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, I'm going to tell you what I mean. He loves faithful Christians. He loves available Christians. And he loves teachable Christians. Amen. Jesus loves fat Christians. I like that. That cracked me up. This is not my thought. I want you to know this is not an Alta Midget original. I actually saw it on the sign, and I said, I like that. So I'm going to share it with you because as I looked into God's Word, I found that it's the truth that Jesus does love fat Christians. Matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, speaking of the faithful Christian, the Bible says, moreover, it is required. You with me? It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Christians, we don't like the word required because that puts us in the predicament. It means we will be obedient or disobedient, but the Bible says that we are required to be found faithful. I believe Christ illustrates his deep love for faithful Christians with the parable of the five talents found over in Matthew chapter 21. Remember the servant. This is the illustration that Christ used. There was a owner or a master, and then there were the servants. And he left one of the servants five talents. And he said, go out and try to double it. Well, the man went out, and he did just that. He doubled the amount of his talents. Then they had one. Another servant, he said, I'm giving you two talents. Now I want you to go out and see what you can do with those two talents. And the young man did. He went out and came back, and he had doubled the value of his two talents to four talents. And then the master had given his servant, one other servant, one talent, and he expected him to do something with the one talent. But as the master came back into town, the one that he had given one talent did nothing with his talent, but buried his talent. Christians, I want to ask you, are you burying your talent? The ones that your master, your God has given you to use, your God that has given you to use it and multiply it, are you using that talent for him? Matthew 25, 21, and this is the illustration. The Lord said unto him, speaking of the man that he had given five talents, and this servant had doubled his talents and now has 10 talents, and his Lord said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that's a great illustration that Jesus loves his faithful servants. Because if you go ahead and read a little further in that chapter, you'll find out what happened to the one who only had one talent given him, but did nothing but bury it. He did not invest it. He did not use it to produce. And Jesus said this to him. He said, "Thou wicked and slothful servant." Ladies and gentlemen, we need to be faithful, or if I may say, fat Christians. Amen. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 4 says this, "The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing." But listen what happened. "But the soul of the diligent shall be made fat." The soul of the diligent person is characterized by steadiness, earnest, energetic effort, or persistent, or personal attention. You know what another word for that is? Faithfulness. And so it's important that we be faithful Christians. And then we see there's the available Christians. The liberal soul in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25 speaks of the liberal soul shall be made fat. Did you hear that? Did you hear what God's word said? It didn't say obese. It didn't say plump and pretty. It just said will be made fat. Maybe the Bible isn't politically correct. But nevertheless, the liberal soul shall be made fat. And I want to hear you to hear the guarantee. The reward of the liberal soul says, "He that watereth shall be watered so also himself." Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is true. You reap what you sow. You get what you give. Amen? And if we give and we're faithful, we're available, God will be available for us. The liberal soul shall be made fat. Liberal means the source of blessing or available to be a blessing. Christian, are you making yourself available? Are you being a blessing to others? You say, well, that's pretty shallow preaching. I can't help it. That's where we are. We have lost our focus many times, and we're no longer seeking to be a blessing. Too many times, and look, folks, I come to church looking for God. I come to church, yes, to get a blessing, but I want to tell you that if we'll get our priorities in the correct order and we go into church looking to be a blessing, God will water us. Don't you worry. He's not going to leave us out. But when we come to his house, we need to make an effort not just to receive one, but to be a blessing. But in order to be a blessing, you got to be available. Proverbs 28:25 says this, "He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife." I wish Christians would hear that. "But he that putteth his trust in the Lord," guess what happens again? "Shall be made fat." I mean, there is apparently something pleasing to the Lord to fat Christians. That's right, because we're speaking not of the temporal, of course. We're thinking of the spiritual goodness or the spiritual fatness of his children. To trust the Lord means to secure in, to make secure in, to feel safe in, period. Do you feel safe in the Lord today? Hey, Christians, do you feel safe where you are? Let me ask you this. Are you satisfied where you are with the Lord? I'm talking about your relationship with Him and His relationship with you. We need to trust in the Lord. Listen, I believe the Christians, and the reason I believe this applies to Christians, because Christians who place their trust in God, I've noticed that they are always available. They're available to the will of God. They're available to God's desire for their life. And why is that? It's because when you put your trust in God and He says, do something, you say, yes, sir, and you're not worried about the details, because God, when we are available in trust in Him, He takes care of all those things. Well, so Jesus loves the fat Christians. He loves the faithful Christians. Jesus loves those that make themselves available. I want to say to you, last Sunday night, we had some Christians that made themselves available. We came in, and everybody had a list of people to pray for, and they were taking their list and the people they would pray for, and they would try to find where they sit, and they would go and stand and pray over those areas where those people sit. Where you sit this morning, Sunday night, there were people that made themselves available that were praying over you, even if you didn't know it. They made themselves available. I'm convinced that one of the reasons we've experienced such a sweet spirit here at Westside Baptist Church, not just on a continual basis, but this morning, is because someone made themselves available and prayed over your seat, prayed over you. I'm talking about being a fat Christian. Jesus loves a fat Christian. Well, then we find that Jesus loves a teachable Christian. Psalm 92:14 says this, stay with me. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat. Now listen. They shall be fat and flourishing. Hey, Westside, who will be fat with God's blessings? The answer is one verse before this verse that I just read to you, the verse that says, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat. Fat. Who is this, Westside? Verse 13 of the same chapter says, those that be planted in the house of the Lord. Did you hear that? In the Oriental Eastern customs, many homes would have courtyards. In those courtyards, they'd have plants. And those plants were extra special, and they were paid more attention to than, say, the trees we've got growing in our backyards or back in the brush or in a field somewhere. They were attended to. They were well cared, kept and cared for. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a beautiful picture of that, that those that plant themselves in the house of God will be made fat. It doesn't necessarily mean that our bank accounts are going to be made that. It doesn't mean that we're going to be made fat, but there's a fatness or a blessing that comes from God that when we plant ourselves, it pleases the Lord, and He just loves on us a little bit. I want to tell you this thing of being planted in the house of God. Now, here is the teachable part. Faith or fat and faithful is good. Available and faithful or fat and available is good. But when we are not teachable, our faithfulness and our availability will be sporadic and inconsistent. We'll be nothing less than an old, dried up, withered plant sitting on God's pews. Ladies and gentlemen, we only fulfill our duties of faithfulness and availability when we are planted deep into the grace of Jesus Christ, and when we're willing to learn the doctrines of His Word. So this thing of being teachable is important, because if we're not teachable, our faith suffers. If we're not teachable, our availability suffers. That's why Jesus loves a fat Christian. I want to go back to our text just for a minute. Because the question came up into my mind, well, if Jesus loves fat Christians, how much does He love them? Well, Psalm chapter 23 and verse 5 says it. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And now here is where we make some application with the theme of the message. It says, Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Let's go back. Thou anointest my head with oil. You know, I did a little word search. And you know what this word anointest means in the Hebrew? It means makes fat. That's what it means. So we can read it like this. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest, thou makes fat my head with oil. Not only does He want us fat, but apparently He wants us to have a big head. The truth is, this anointing, this saturation of oil, is a spiritual growth, a spiritual bigness. And it doesn't just speak of our spiritual growth, but of God and what He wants to do for us. Some of you ladies are putting your jackets on. Brother Ty, we might need to bump it up 1 degree. I don't know. I'm fine, but I'm up here working, so. Make us fat. There's three trains of thought, and we'll be done. There's three qualities of the oil. This oil is smooth to the touch. It's brightness to the sight, and it has a fragrance or a smell. It gives delight. It gives delight to those that experience this anointing. You know, I appreciate the Lord, because we do, as people, have these senses. What? Taste, touch, smell, hear, and there's one more. Sight, thank you. And so we have all those things. And that's wonderful. But, you know, the Lord seems to even help us in that area. He's not just only about eternal things, but he's willing to help us here today at Westside Baptist Church. He soothes us with the touch of his anointing. He reveals things to us in the brightness or the sight with this oil. And oh my goodness, it smells so good. It's so pleasant when we experience a fresh anointing. How many times have we prayed here, Lord, give us a fresh anointing? How many times have we prayed and we've seen the Lord do it? And I've never seen anyone in the church leave angry because Jesus showed up. See, there's another train of thought concerning this anointing. Remember the oils of Egypt, how they were made to preserve the bodies from the corruption of the sepulcher? But the precious perfumed oil of grace purifies our soul. The perfumed oil of grace adorns us and strengthens us and secures our soul from corruption. It uplifts us from this house of bondage and places us into eternal blessedness. The Egyptian oils were temporary, even though they find mummies that are thousands of years old. One day they will be gone. But ladies and gentlemen, the grace anointing that God has given our soul will never, ever, ever, ever cause or be a part of decay. Well, then there's one more thought on this verse, because here we see, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest, thou makest fat my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Ladies and gentlemen, we see three things in this verse. We see God. Somebody was testifying a while ago, and they said, we're warriors. We're warriors. Listen to this. There's three things that this verse covers. It's first and foremost, God treats us like warriors after the battle. There we sit at the table before me, thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. God treats us like an incredible warrior that has gone out and conquered. Then we see the second part of this verse where he tells us, thou anointest my head with oil. He treats us like somebody. The individual, first and foremost, if you want to talk about the priest, I think you have to say there's somebody. And they experience the anointing before sacrifices. And then we know that in the Oriental customs that guests would come in, maybe dirty from a long trip, and these oils would be used to kind of clean them up and make them smell better because they've been on the road through this world. And I want to say to you Christians that we are in this world. We may not be of it, but we're in it. And sometimes the old world rubs off on us, and we need that fresh anointing and be rubbed on us and smooth, and all that feels good. And oh, it smells so nice. We need that. And God loves us so much that he treats us to this anointing. And then the last part of this verse, we find that this guest, that the important person's cup runneth over. You know what that means? Is God is not only fulfilling our needs, but once he fills our cup to the top, it begins to run over. He even fulfills many of our desires. I'm just saying to you that he anoints our fat head, amen, with oil. And I'm trying to tell you that trying to tell you that Jesus loves fat Christians. He loves the faithful. He loves the available. And he loves the teachable Christians. Now, one thing you need to know. That we are a product of a love that he had for us before we were Christians. Because he loved us, the Bible said Christ died for the ungodly. He didn't find the perfect to die for because there were no perfect. No one was perfect. For all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. We have people in this room under the sound of my voice that, as Miss Vicky mentioned a while ago, was saved as a child. Say, well, what can a child do wrong to be saved from? Ladies and gentlemen, we're born sinners. And we have to have someone that loved us enough to pay a sin debt that we cannot pay. And he loved us so much, he looked down and saw Miss Vicky, just a little child. I was saved as a child, but I had that sin nature that had to be forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ. And he did when I asked him to do so. And then I look across and I see some of you. Miss Kathy, 52 years. Teaching Sunday school, working in the church, teaching junior church, playing the game. But he loved you enough. You know, he could have said, that Kathy, she's a nasty hypocrite. Just let her die and go to hell then. And you know, the Bible asks us, why should some hear the gospel twice when many hadn't heard it once? But Jesus loved you enough. 52 years, he just burped you along. And one day he kept bumping you on the back. He came in here to Westside Baptist Church. And then the Holy Spirit slapped you in the back of the head, amen? And oh, here comes Miss Kathy, about right here. Me, Lisa, Miss Kathy, and God. Amen. I'm telling you, and then there's some in here that you've gone further than that. Some into deep, rotten sin, and God saved you out of that. Some out of drunkenness. Some out of drugs. Some out of the very bottom of the barrel of life. God saved you out of that mess, and you're here today. Why? Because Jesus loves you. Amen. What about you, lost person? You here this morning, and you're not saved. You can't say, preacher, if I died, I'd go to heaven, because you know you've turned your back on God. You know there's a Savior. You know Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. He nailed your sins to that cross that day. And he did it because he loved you. And then he loved you and me enough that he rose up from the grave on the third day. After beating the devil out of the devil, amen. Conquering death, I like it. Walked out of the pit with the keys of hell dangling off his fingertips. Why did he do it? Because he loved you. What about it? Christian, there's two parts to this invitation as they come forward. There's two parts. Christians, are you willing to say, I want to be a fat Christian in year 2017? I want to be faithful. I want to be available. And yes, I'm willing to be teachable. You say, well, preacher, I've been saved 353 years. Now, listen, I don't care how long or how short a time that we've been saved. We always can learn from the Word of God and learn from each other. I'm asking you. You say, preacher, This is 2017, a new year, and I want to be a fat Christian for the Lord this year. But then the second part of this invitation is for you. You're spiritually starved. Your life is a sinful sack of skin and bones. If you died today, you'd bust hell wide open. I'm going to ask you, if you'd like to know Christ as your Savior, if you'd like to experience His grace and love, His forgiveness, His renewing of your soul, you're also invited to come forward this morning, and we'll take the Word of God and show you how you can be saved today. Can anyone tell me? Can anyone tell me a name? A name of an individual other than Jesus Christ that came and died for your sins? Is there one? And the answer is no. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But here's where it gets good. That whosoever, the drunk and the drug addict, the child that realizes they're sinners and everything in between, shall be saved. Isn't that one? That's what God did for us. Will you take advantage of it today? Let's all stand, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Preacher, I just want to be fat for Jesus. Preacher, I don't know this Jesus you talked about. I'm not sure about all the details. Preacher, would you just get somebody to show me in the Word of God some things I just don't understand? You'll come forward. We'll take the Word of God and show you how you can be born again today. We'll do that thing.
Just as I am without one.
Lord, help me, Lord. Put on a little spiritual weight in 2017.
Thou